This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there much second-guessing from management's part about the situation with Monty going into the year, in the last year of his deal, just given kind of the pressure that is obvious and inherent when a coach enters that kind of situation?
No, not from the second guessing. As I said, I was in extension talks. There was contract offers. So, you know, I feel very comfortable. The person makes it no different than a player making an individual decision. You know, we've got players that did that as well this summer. So, you know, there's two sides to every negotiation, and they have to make their own decisions accordingly. And we react as a result of that. Doesn't mean that it doesn't come to fruition at some point in time, because you're very open. It's not that we shut things down, but at the end of the day, performance is part of this.
As Don Sweeney yesterday, one of the lies, the stretch truths, I think, from Don Sweeney and the players yesterday. Let me ask you this, Keith.
Okay.
Second hour, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. I will talk to the Razor, Andrew Raycroft from Nesson, coming up about 15 minutes from now.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for that. Bigger lie. Don Sweeney saying they had contract offers out for Jim Montgomery and they were going back and forth, or the players pretending that they feel bad that Montgomery's fired. What's the bigger lie yesterday? I say players, Marchand. I heard them playing a clip from McAvoy this morning where he sounded like pretending to be sad and upset for Jim Montgomery, who they just got fired. What's the bigger one?
I think the Sweeney one.
Yeah.
I think so, because I think they went into the year with, like, all right, if things go bad, we'll fire him and then sort of save ourselves, being Sweeney and Neely, maybe more so Sweeney. And I can't imagine Jim Montgomery is asking for a ton of money. Like, this isn't a Swayman negotiation. Like, if they offered
He had
him something,
no leverage.
No.
Montgomery had no leverage. They almost fired him after if they would have lost to Toronto, they would have fired him on the spot.
Oh, I mean, the hockey coaches, I'm sure, get contracts if they could do it, like, month to month instead of year to year. Like, right. These guys, they're here and they're gone no matter what. You can be coach of the year 1 year, fired the next. This was, you know, a year and 20 games later. And so if they offered him anything serious, like anything serious, I bet he would have signed it and he would have been here. You know, the players might, you know, to varying degrees, like Montgomery, or like certainly not want him fired. Not that they were playing their asses off for him, but there might be more truth to what they were saying after the fact. Plus, it does look bad on you. Like, you did get your coach fired. Whether you're, you know, like, how many coaches are you going to get fired? Like, some of this core has now been here for a couple of coaches that have had decent success, not ultimate success, but decent success, and then they both got fired. And I think even now, you know, we saw it yesterday, a lot of the fan reaction is, this ain't Montgomery's fault. Like, the players are the ones that need to get more of this blame than anybody else. These are the guys that are underperforming. You could obviously argue how much of an impact the head coach has in that, but in hockey, kind of like in baseball and even basketball to a certain degree, like, to me, it's less about the coach than it is about the players.
Yeah, I just, them pretending to care is laughable, because they've come out so flat in these last few games You know, I mean, I get the who's the scrub again they called up the other day to fight and like try to wake people up. Yeah, VL. Like, I mean, at least he tried, I guess, early on in the game.
Yeah,
his scrubby fighting dirty thing.
Why not?
And so they've lost three in a row, 4 out of 5. They did pick up a point in the loss to St. Louis. Like, if you cared about Jim Montgomery, you had a weird way of showing it, is all I would say. If you really, truly cared and you were playing for your coach, you had a weird way of showing it. 8-9-3, 8-12 is what the Bruins are. I will say this, not to pull up Gerard Mayo there. Yeah. Now, what I will say, I heard our good pal DJ Bean last night on NBC Sports Boston. He made a fair point about the Bruins and being shaken awake in this next 10-game stretch.
Yes.
He said Winnipeg is off to an excellent start, which I didn't realize. Winnipeg is 16-3 this year.
Jeez.
So they play Winnipeg in 10 games. The 9 games leading up to it. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Utah Hockey Club tonight, Keith. What do you want to call them again?
I want to call them the Yeti. That was one of the finalists, but they're not the Yeti.
The Utah Yeti.
They stink.
7-8-3.
Not only 7-8-3, they started in their new place. They were 3-0 right off the rip.
Oh, yeah.
So they're really 4. I mean, they're 4-8-3 since.
Yeah.
They stink.
Not good. 7-8-3. Detroit, 7-9-2. Vancouver, decent team. They're in wild card position. 9-6-3. Islanders, 7-7-5. Penguins, 7-10-4. Canadiens, 7-10-2. Detroit, 7-9-2. You get them a second time. Chicago, 6-12-1. Phillies, 8-10-2. Then you get Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah. You should be able to go on a little run here.
This is the point.
6-3, something
so,
like that.
So, new coach, team shaking awake, you hope. What do you expect out of the Bruins tonight with Joe Sacco? Do they respond? Your predictions for the game tonight? We'll take them on the phones at 617-779-7937. What do you expect?
I do think they bounce back. I think, or you know, I think they have a positive couple of games stretch. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I do think they get sort of like what we saw with the New Orleans Saints. They turned it around. I mean, there are examples both ways. You know, the Jets.
You think Joe Sacco comes out and does the clogged toilet line? You think he should do that like Darren Rizzi?
I think he does that. He blows out his legs after the first.
Yeah, exactly. Just for good luck.
No, I think the opponent obviously helps. A couple of days to kind of stew on it and be like, we got the coach fired, have to react to it. And then in comes Joe Sacco, who had been a coach before, obviously, or been a head coach before, I mean, but has been on the staff here for a while. I think they do have a little bit of just personal pride, even if it's, I don't know if it's playing for Sacco or whatever. It's just they haven't played well, and I think they're talented enough where it always goes back to me, Pastrnak and McAvoy, Marchand and Swayman, and against a bad Utah team, yeah, I think they can jump out, get out early, and maybe go on a little bit of a run. Now, there's 62 games left in the regular season, so I have no idea how long it's going to last, but I feel pretty confident in tonight.
Would you expect it to be Swayman tonight?
Yes.
Was he the first? I didn't even see.
I don't know. I'm looking
at the morning lines here. I'm just trying to see if there's any indication.
Korpisalo had the game on Saturday, and then the most recent game where they sucked and he sucked was Columbus on Monday. But I think, well, that would really show something from Sacco, wouldn't it? If he's like first game, or the guy that has been playing better, I'm going to go with him, go with Korpisalo. That'd be a bigger message to send, but I feel like they're like, all right, we're starting over. Like, the 20 games are behind us. Let's pretend this is the opener, and we're going to go with who we would open with, and that would be Jeremy Swayman.
I would start Swayman tonight. And you know what? If it looks the same, Keith, and he's getting bombarded, it's 4, 5, 7 goals like it's been in his last few starts.
You can take him out. You don't have to leave him out.
Number one, you definitely give him a quick. If it's a mess, you take him out midway through the second period, third period, whatever. Like, I agree with that. But the idea is you're starting over. The idea is you're getting more out of these players, and they should respond on the ice, and I expect them to. They're at home. Utah stinks. You just embarrass the whole organization by firing Jim Montgomery, which the players are supposed to be angry and sad and upset about. So I'd expect the skaters to respond. That means you put Swayman out there tonight. I agree with that.
It's going to be Swayman.
Okay, is it?
Not for sure, but one of these reporters that put out like the morning skate lines had Swayman as the top.
Okay, good. That's what it should be. I had not seen that, but good. That's what it should be. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would do. And I do expect them to respond, Keith, and I think they're going to get a jump.
Yeah,
I think they're going to get a boost. It could be opponent-based. And look, the Bruins can't beat anybody right now. They're losing to Columbus.
Take all the points you can get.
So take all the points you can get even against crappy teams, because with Montgomery, you weren't getting enough of them. I do think they get a shot in the arm over these next 9 games leading up to that Winnipeg game.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see a response, because this team is better than it's played. And now that the spotlight is on them, the spotlight is now on the players on the ice, I'd expect them to have a little bit of pride.
Yeah.
Because there was always the deflection and the talking point of, the head coach? And is the head coach getting enough out of the room? And they clearly, clearly tuned him out. Again, Montgomery physically, people think shoved is too strong, like physically put his hands on Brad Marchand.
Yeah, you don't touch the players.
And Marchand didn't even blink, look at him. It was the embodiment of tuning out a coach. They tuned him out a long time ago. You could see it there. That night you could see it. So they had tuned him out. So now you have a little bit of pride, a little bit more jump. I would expect him to play well over the next few weeks and look closer to the team we expected him to be in the regular season, rather before the season started.
Yeah.
Which is not a great team, not a cup contender, but it is a team comfortably in playoff position. That's what this team should be.
You think the crowd gets a little crazy? I think if they're down like 2-0, I think the crowd can get aggressively nasty.
It turned the other night, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, because at that point they're like, all right, what the hell is the problem here? And then like the players are gonna have to wear it. But I mean, if they get out to a hot start, you'll also have the crowd behind you. And I think you do look at it as sort of like a new beginning to the season. They're not that far out of a playoff spot, as it were. So it's like, all right, you're kind of starting over. You're not that far out of it. It is admittedly a bad 20 game start, but there's still so much season left where you can save it. I mean, you go back to, when did they fire Clode? That was
I was right in the middle of a Patriots parade.
That's
Keith,
correct.
I can tell you that.
I do remember that.
The date I don't recall, but I know where I was. I was on Boylston Avenue for a Patriots parade doing call-ins,
but
and
he had already,
out in the awful weather. Yes,
but that was sort of the opposite of this. He had already coached over 50 games that season, mm-hmm. but then they went to Cassidy, got on a little bit of a heater, made the playoffs.
Yeah,
right. Like they'd snapped their 2-game playoff drought, and Cassidy kind of pushed them over there. Now again, that was a smaller run up into the postseason. But we've seen it before, and then it could certainly happen again.
Okay. We said yesterday, who's the most pressure on in the organization?
Yeah.
Even above Sweeney and Neely, I think it's Swayman. I think Swayman is the face of this now that Montgomery's gone.
If, like, the teammates are looking at him sideways, like, it has to be Swayman.
So, but we agree on that.
Yeah.
After Swayman, who is it on the ice tonight? Who are you watching as, like, a barometer for a response?
Pastrnak.
Okay, interesting.
Highest paid guy on the team.
Yep.
Capable of 50, 60 goals in a season and has had these like goal droughts throughout the year, which he just can't have. Like this team can't have it. Like they were a good team in the regular season a year ago. He was the team's leading scorer. He was over 100 points and like a real MVP candidate. So he has to be the most consistent guy. They have plenty of other guys that Charlie Coyle, Zaka might pop up once a week. You know, like that's kind of what you can expect out of those guys. Pastrnak needs to be consistent. I think the price tag is a part of that, but he's also just should be their best player.
So Pastrnak's a good one. McAvoy, I think, is another one. Marchand's the captain on the team. All of those guys would be satisfactory answers. That's not who I would go with. I'd go with Lindholm. What? Is this guy going to show up? Okay, his first 3 games in Boston, pretty good.
Yeah.
He had, what, 2 goals and 3 assists in his first 3 games.
He has cooled since.
He has not scored a goal since October 12th.
It's hard to score a goal.
Pre-Columbus Day, has not scored a goal.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a point in the last 5 games. We went through these numbers the other day.
He's due.
His shots on goal in those 5 games, 2-1-0-0-2.
Impossible to score when you're not shooting.
I would look at Elias Lindholm tonight. There's a lot of good names, a lot of good options. We agree Swayman's the guy, but out of the skaters, maybe it's Pastrnak. Maybe it's your captain, Brad Marchand.
I bet Sweeney's looking at Lindholm.
Maybe it's McAvoy. Lindholm will be the guy I'm looking at.
Right.
I'm not guaranteeing a goal or anything.
No, no, no.
But I need some shots on goal, and I need to notice them.
I'll go Pasta goal tonight. But the Pasta goal's happening.
It's happening?
It's happening tonight.
Rich Keefe guarantee?
Yep.
What are the odds on that? Is he minus money? Plus money?
No, he's plus. I think it's like plus 100.
Yeah,
it's close. But usually he would normally be a minus. Like all last season he was a minus.
The last time that people were squawking about Pasta not doing anything is when he got the game winner against St. Louis. I had him that night for an anytime goal. He was plus money then.
I just think it kind of fits the storyline. Like, oh, they fired the coach. Coach made the comment about Pastrnak. You know, if he had that kind of shot, he would do it every night. And then, like, he's gone. Then, boom, goal. That's what I think is going to happen.
617-779-7937. Who needs to step up? Who's the pressure on? What do you expect out of the Bruins tonight with a new head coach, Joe Sacco?
Did you get to know Jim Montgomery at all? I know your time didn't overlap a ton, but did you guys have a relationship?
No.
I listened to that Mayo press conference yesterday and burst out laughing when I heard
Man.
That.
Man.
You have any relationship with Jim Montgomery?
No.
Pretty clear. All right.
I
don't think he's going to walk that one back.
I've never heard a Boston coach say that. All Boston
they
coaches
all know each other and love each other. It seems like over
Mazzulla.
The years.
I remember being shocked a year ago, and Mazzulla was an assistant here for a long time. But I remember being shocked a year ago when Mazzulla's like, oh, yeah, I got a relationship with Bill Belichick and this and that and this and that. I have never, ever, ever heard another Boston coach say that about a fellow Boston coach. Do you have any relationship with them whatsoever? No, I don't.
I want to say Belichick, I don't know if he was friends with, but he definitely like loved Claude and I think even Cassidy. Like, I think there was definitely something there. Like, coaches show up at each other's practices all the time. I talked to Core about it in years past. Like, there's sort of like a little fraternity with the four of them. He's like, no. All right. Fair enough.
I mean, the players at least pretended to care that Jim Montgomery was gone, and Mayo didn't even do that yesterday. 617-779-7937. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It is a Bruins Thursday. We're joined right now by Andrew Raycroft, the Razor of Nesson, and he's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. What's up, Razor?
Good morning, gentlemen. What's happening? Oh. I feel like I should be the one asking questions today.
Oh, Keith. Ask. Oh, I like this. It's a role reversal. Oh, ask away. Yeah, go.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
Oh, I'm just impressed with his knowledge of the inside. What's next? That's what I'd like to know. When's this team going to turn it around? Those kind of questions.
Well, I got them winning tonight. Yeah. I don't know if that's a scoop necessarily. And I do think, Razor, there's going to be trades way before the trade deadline. I don't know if you've heard anything on that front, but I don't think that the coaching change is going to be the only change in the near future.
Well, I would agree that it's pretty clear that average or mediocrity or middle is not the expectation for this group. And yes, I believe Don Sweeney when he says that if this doesn't click, there's going to be more. And I would imagine there'll be more even if they start clicking.
Okay, so who are we talking about?
No, I have no idea. But that's for scoops to find out. I don't know those kinds of things.
Let's say you're running the team. Let's say you're Don Sweeney. Where are you looking? Where do you need more production out of, and where would you look to make upgrades?
Well, I think the back end's going to get better. I think they need to focus on defensive structure a little bit. I think they've lost their way a little bit trying to create offense or get on their horse and get going forward. So I think that's what Coach Sacco is going to, start with. That's the easiest place to start as well, is you take care of your own zone, you take care of the neutral zone, you take care of the rush chances, then you usually create a little bit more. So I'm not looking to change anything on the back end. I think everybody improves over the course of the year. I think that, of course, up front, you're still looking at a top six winger. I don't know. They don't really grow on trees, those power forward wingers that can score in the NHL, but that's where I'd be kicking tires.
Where do you think it went wrong for Montgomery this season? Because it did seem like he went down kind of swinging. Like, Jones and I talked about how, he sits Pastrnak for a period because of a turnover. He obviously was changing the lines a lot, and things weren't really clicking. I think he left Swayman out there in a couple of games where he was not performing well, but he's like, you're going to stay out there. Like, it did seem like he was trying things, but ultimately it wasn't able to click.
No, it wasn't, and I think, now that we're dealing with hindsight, you're looking at it, and of course there's noise, and they all hear the noise, and this has been the coach conversation's been at least a month now, and I'm sure he heard it. I'm sure he decided. It seems like in hindsight, he decided I'm going to do it. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go down on my own terms, and that's where you sit David Pastrnak, and you give your goalie a message, I suppose, in a 7-2 game. I don't have like a pinpointed, aha moment that I look at where the light went off where I'm like, ooh, that's it. Other than the Columbus game the other night, to lose 5-1 at home, and after losing 3-2 to St. Louis at home in an afternoon game on Saturday, that's like, oh boy, that's, that should probably do it at this point, because that's just not what the Bruins are used to seeing, and Bruins fans for that matter.
Do you think he'll be a head coach in the league next year?
I do, yeah. I think he'll get – so it's really funny, right, there's a little bit of a narrative while they're firing a lot of coaches here and they've gone through three Jack Adams. Well, there's only four guys. I went through it this morning. There's only four guys that were hired in the NHL with the team they're on right now before 2022. Like, there's going to be seven more guys hired over the summer. It's a crazy sport. It really is. Like, at this point where Monty got fired, he's actually one of the longest tenured guys in the National Hockey League. So yes, there's going to be seven or eight guys fired over the summer. And yes, I would imagine Jim Montgomery has 3-4 interviews and can probably choose where his next destination is.
Talking to Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, the Razor, on a Bruins Thursday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. I want to circle back to something you said before. You said the Bruins could use maybe some help on the back end, maybe a top six wing. How do they get that? They don't have prospects. I guess they could trade more picks, but they're tight to the cap, so you got to send out money to bring in a player like that. How did they do that?
Well, again, and the reality is, on top of that, Jones, is that trades in the NHL are really hard. The good news is the cap's going up. The good news is there is money out there, and there's probably a few players that that would fit more of that rental mode. And the Bruins might have a couple of those guys that they might not be able to get signed, that are looking to the free agents that are Trent Frederick or Morgan Geeky and those kind of names that other teams look for a bump, and maybe the fit or the style is just a little bit different. So you always look at guys that are near the end of their contracts in the NHL, because that's really what motivates teams to make moves, because of the hard cap.
You know, 2 days ago, I think it was, Fluto Shinzawa wrote about Jeremy Swayman's relationship with players inside the locker room. And one of the lines in there was, if Swayman continues to take backward steps, he will not have many friends left in the dressing room. I don't know what you know about this, but the offseason was very much dominated by Jeremy Swayman and his contract. He signs before the season, but he wasn't ready to play in the first game. We know he didn't go through the camp and everything, and then he shows up, plays in game two, and the results haven't been great. But are there a lot of players in the locker room looking at him kind of sideways because of this offseason?
I'm certainly not privy to those guys. Like, I don't think, and I'm unless Fluto's getting it directly from a player, like, I don't know how any of us in the media would really get a sense of that. Being on a few of the, like, it seems like everybody's getting along. I haven't seen any in bickering. Of course, there's whenever there's losing, right? Whenever there's losing in these pro sports, any of them, you hear stuff like that. Somehow it sneaks out, and especially now, and I think Jeremy Swayman's figured this out over the last 2 months, is when you sign a big deal, especially in this city, the target's a monster on your back. It's an absolute monster target on your back, basically no matter what. Short of winning a Stanley Cup, there's going to be criticism, there's going to be random things said, and I think he's up for that mentally. I think the Bruins thought and expect him to be up for it. They wouldn't have given him the deal because they know that drill as well. Back to the question, it's, I have no, like, I wouldn't know how to know that. And at the end of the day, if you win, it doesn't matter. I guess that's the other bottom line. If Swayman has a 920 and wins 70% of his games, no one will care if they don't really like him.
I mean, overall, wouldn't most players want their teammates to make the most money possible? It almost, like, no matter how it happens. Because I remember years and years ago, Brett Favre called out one of his receivers. I think it was Javon Walker was like a holdout, and Favre called him out, and then he got a ton of backlash. It was like, dude, you got your money. Like, let these guys get their money. So Swayman finally became a free agent. I would think other players, now I know everybody's different and you're not going to have all the guys feel the exact same way, but I would think for the good of your teammate and the good of the sport, don't you want everybody making the most money possible?
Yeah, no question. I really don't recall a situation where I begrudged another player, or I was on a team where a few guys thought, oh man, I can't believe he wants more money, or I can't believe he got more money. Mm-hmm. As individuals, you might look at another player and say, wow, I'm better than him, I should be making that much money. Like, I can't believe he got that deal, that's a good agent, etc. But you're not really blaming the player. And you know, of course, organizations are all together as one, but there is a bit of a line between the NHLPA and the NHL owners, that we've seen that numerous times over the last 20 years. And so, yeah, I couldn't agree more that a player saying, being mad that someone else makes a lot of money, just doesn't really fit a narrative that I've been around or seen.
What's wrong with Swayman? Because last time we talked, we were looking at the power play goals. Those were an issue. The Bruins were spending a lot of time in the box. You know, now it was a penalty shot in the Dallas game, but it was 6 even strength goals. It was 5 goals the other night. 2 of them were shorthanded. And so what's up with Swayman now? He can't blame power play goals anymore. What's going on there?
Yeah, sure. So you're right. Prior to that, you know, we talked about, I think I mentioned his 5-on-5 save percentage was still in the top 10 and the power play was struggling, et cetera. And then, so now this is what I probably spoke about before here, or, you know, I've definitely talked about, is this is where being a starting goalie in the National Hockey League, this is where it's different. This is where not having a rotation, not having your days off in between games is a big difference, because he's given up 12 goals in his last 2 games over a 6-day period, and he's got to go back in there tonight and figure it out. So this happens to all goalies throughout the league at over a 6-, 7-, 8-day period, and you have to find your way out of it. If you don't, you have a bad season. This is, you know, the longer this goes, the longer your bad season lasts. If you get out of this and work through it and find a way to get back to your game, this is just kind of standard procedure for NHL starting goalie. But he hasn't gone through it before, and this is what I was talking about, the difficulty of being a starter, and he never really did it in Providence either. So he's up for a challenge right now, and he's got to find a way through. And now with a new coaching change, all eyes will be directed at them, at the players, at the core, at the best players. And of course, probably starts with Jeremy Swayman at this point.
And I know his contract, obviously he's a guy that is going to play 55 games. That's the goal and going forward. However, because it has gotten off to a slow start, would you consider over the next, I don't know, 20 games, going back to a more 50-50 split? Korpisalo's played pretty well, and maybe Swayman can gain some confidence that way?
I would imagine they had a schedule in mind, and they always have. They've always talked about basically at least a month in advance, kind of booking out where guys are going to play. That's how most NHL teams are run. I would expect that, and now with a new coach, we might get it. You know, this might be a little bit different. He might have a different view than what we've seen the last couple of years. Monty basically just held a rotation. So this is new territory with a new coach. I wouldn't be surprised if that schedule is more flexible now than what it would have been a month ago, Korpisalo continues his play, Jeremy Swayman continues to struggle. You might have to find a couple extra games and a couple extra work days for him. But I think right now with a new coach, I'm going to my starter and I'm saying, you know, all right, we all have a fresh start here. Let's put the last 2 months in the past and let's get cooking here.
Razor, you mentioned the spotlight now clearly on the players with Montgomery out the door, which I agree with. Is Don Sweeney the turnaround for this team? If they don't turn it around, could he be out of a job?
I think we have a long way to go for that one. That's certainly not happening mid-season. So they have 6-7 months, and I get it. I really do. I really do get the you know, of course. But again, I just kind of mentioned it, like the fact they've only had 2 coaches in the last since 2013 or 14. That's actually better than everybody else in the league. Like, I think I get like the everyone's just focusing on the Bruins here. But if you look around the league, like you ask about Montgomery, is he going to get hired? If Don Sweeney got fired tomorrow, he's got a job on Saturday. Like, he is considered one of the
Chiarelli got a job quickly too, and they fired him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that was after missing the playoffs for 2 years. Don Sweeney's never missed the playoffs.
Right, but if they don't turn it around and they miss the playoffs, I guess is what I'm driving at. You think it would need to go longer than just a 1-year drought?
I would expect. I mean, that from my point of view, that if I was in charge, that would be the case. I mean, the guy, it's a pretty good. He's got a pretty good resume. I know it's easier to bash on these guys, and it's easier. He's been here a long time, so it's easy to get negative, but. The reality is they're, you know, and I know no one wants to hear it, but they went to game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. They're in the playoffs every year. Like there's 25 fan bases that would do anything to have the record that these guys have had under Don Sweeney, even 30.
I saw you and Tuca were competing against the Spit and Chicklet guys on the golf course. How'd that go?
That was something else. So, yeah, we did that a month ago. It comes out today, I guess, maybe in the next hour or two. And, yeah, we had a heck of a match and a long day out on the golf course. So
you don't have to give us any spoilers, but who's the best out of those four and who's the worst golfer?
Yeah, Ryan Whitney is definitely the best. He's probably got three or four or five shots on Tuukka and I, who are about the same, and then Biz stinks. Got so, no spoiler, but yeah, the worst guy, Biz, comes out and birdies number one on top of us. So that's a bit of an insight onto how that goes. So it was a good day. It was fun.
Very good. Nice. A fast start for Biz. We'll see if the Bruins get a fast start here tonight. As they play their first game without Jim Montgomery. It's Bruins Thursday. Every Thursday, we're joined by Andrew Raycroft, the Razor of Nesson. At 11:20. Razor, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Razor joining us here on WEEI. How about that? Him and Tuukka are pretty...
smacking the golf balls around a little bit.
I heard Tuukka
hockey
had a
players
nice,
are
nice golf
good.
Game, so Razor's got a good golf game, I
In
think.
My experience, hockey players have been good golfers.
Yeah?
I don't know if it's the swing or what it's it
the
is.
Pitchers, those right? Guys the pitchers in baseball are good.
And at golf?
Yeah, I thought so, right? Smoltz and all that.
Yeah, Smoltz plays every day. He's like almost a pro. Yeah. And Tony Romo.
Well, that's true. And Tony Romo. That's
Tony Romo.
Yeah.
No, it's always something that's fun, but it's wildly frustrating. But
golf?
Horrible.
In my experience, I've not had much fun at it.
No. Yeah. That's why a good scramble. Give me a scramble.
Nice to get out there and knock it around with the fellas.
Use one or two of my shots.
Yeah,
drink
some beers.
Every couple holes.
Yeah. No, that's fun.
Yeah.
But I like mixing it up with the fellas and drinking beers anyway. Yeah. It doesn't have to be on a golf course.
Not do that other stuff.
Okay. 30 fan bases would love the success of the Bruins over the last 5 years. Did he say? He said the Bruins were in game 7 of the Stanley Cup final.
Well, Utah Hockey Club.
They're
one of the teams.
Just for the record, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
They were in game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. Yeah, in 2019. Is that right?
I mean, there's 32 teams in the league.
Uh-huh.
The Florida Panthers trade places.
A bunch of teams have won cups since then. So I think all of them wouldn't trade places with the Bruins.
I would imagine they would not. Yeah.
Okay. How about the... say that again, Nick. What'd you say?
Sacco said Korpisalo's starting tonight.
Oh, Keefe.
Oh.
Wow.
All right.
Scoops Keefe. I don't know if that was a scoop or just a take, but either way. You sniffed this out yesterday. We were talking about this.
This gives me faith in Sacco, in all seriousness, because if he just went with Swayman, it's sort of like, what's the change? What are we doing? It's just, well, I got to bow down to these players. These are the guys that are supposed to do it. Who's been better for the first 20 games? And if you're trying to turn it around, not that you're just going to go with Korpisalo the rest of the way, but for tonight, this is a big game.
Okay, interesting.
Corpy.
Let's dig into that. We were going to get to the Red Sox. Let's move the Red Sox. We can get back to the Red Sox later on. Let's dig into that. Korpisalo.
How about this guy? Your guy, Korpisalo.
Sacco said it. This is on the coach said it.
Every beat writer says Sacco says.
Korpisalo.
Hashtag Sacco says.
Hashtag Sacco says. So, okay. Korpisalo getting the start. Do you like it? Is it the right move? What does it say about Jeremy Swayman that the first game with the new coach, with whispers about dressing room, not locker room, dressing room unrest.
They don't like him.
They're upset with the goalie.
They don't like this guy.
Now they're going with the backup, who a year ago was the worst goalie in the league. Now they're going with him in game one with a new head coach. What does that say? Let's dig into that with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. It's next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We're just catching up on some of Alex Van Pelt. A couple of wild comments from Van Pelt we're going to get to.
Wow.
Coming up afternoon here on WEEI. We just spoke to Razor, though. If you missed any of that, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Take it with you wherever you go. We were asking about Jeremy Swayman and problems in the dressing room and what's wrong with Jeremy Swayman and his game, what's off. And then it came out right after the interview. Oh, Keith, you asked him as well, should there be more of a rotation? And he even said, I expect them to be a little bit more flexible with their plan at goalie now that Sacco is in and Montgomery's out. And we get the news right before we go to break that Sacco said this morning Korpisalo is starting.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I don't like Korpisalo. I actually don't like him long term.
I actually don't, but I'm okay. at least he. I know what he's doing.
I do.
But I don't like it. But go ahead.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah.
And we're here to try to win games. Who gives us the best chance to win games right now? The guy who's given up 12 goals in the last two? Or the backup who's played pretty well? Give me the backup. Doesn't mean you're never going to play Swayman again. But there's been a lot of problems. The last time we saw Swayman was one of the biggest reasons why they got smoked the way they did and they fired Jim Montgomery. So this says this guy's not going to just completely bow down to the players to be like, Got to play the highest paid guys. Got to play them. Nope, they're going to sit them. One guy has a 3.47 goals against. The other, 2.74. One guy has an 88 save percentage. One guy has a 90 save percentage. Give me this guy. And also,
Keith is a Corpy guy now. I like this.
I'm an anti-Swayman guy is what it's turned into. Like everybody else in that locker room.
Team Corpy. Okay, so this is part of what I don't like. Keep going. I'm sorry.
But I also just think to maybe get him back on track. And it's tough because goalies can be fragile. You don't know if you're going to make them or break them with your strategy. But when he was playing his best, he was playing every other day. Now, you can't pay him $8.25 million and play him every other day for the rest of his contract. But to get him back above water, where he's not 48th in the league in goals against and whatever he ranks in save percentage, have him go every other day, focus on those games, get a good streak of games going, and then go back to 2-1 or whatever the numbers end up, 3-1, whatever the numbers end up being. But in the meantime, you talked about this 9-game stretch they have before Winnipeg. You probably need to go like 6-3 or whatever, or get points in 7 of them or what. Like, you need to go on a little bit of a run here. And I think alternating goalies might be your best tactic.
Okay, I don't disagree. The more you talk that out, I kind of poo-pooed that the other day when you first brought it up. Was that yesterday?
It was a great idea.
It was a great idea. Yep, and the more you talk it out, the more I'm on board with that. All right, fine. Let's go back to a rotation short term to get Swayman right. I wouldn't give Korpisalo the game tonight. The team should be ready to go. You should get a response. And so I would play Swayman tonight. And let me ask you, they win tonight behind Korpisalo.
Yeah.
Does that help or hurt Jeremy Swayman standing in the locker room?
It would probably hurt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So look, maybe you're telling me it's too far gone. It's not going to be repaired. Oh, you got to get all the points you can get. Who cares? Maybe those are your answers to that. But I would say for one game, it's worth trying to throw Swayman out there and try to say, okay, clean break. We're starting over. Square one. We win behind Swayman. We can go to Korpisalo in the next game. Fine. But if they win with Corpy tonight and the locker room's already willing to quit on Swayman, that could be a hard one to get back. But
I think you give them the chance. I don't think you win and then you go, oh, Korpisalo gets the next one. Like, they play it on Saturday. I'd go with Swayman there.
Right. But I'm just telling you, in the meantime, for tonight, they win tonight with Korpisalo. Yeah. It doesn't help Jeremy Swayman standing in the locker room whatsoever. And so,
what's worse, though, if Swayman goes out there and sucks again?
Well, short term, what's worse? You want to win the game, so it would be worse to lose the game. I get that. But long term, to make the postseason, don't you need Swayman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm talking about.
But do you need Swayman playing 55 games to make the postseason? Probably not.
Well, maybe not. That's what I wanted when they signed him. I think that's what you should do.
That's what you have.
To make the playoffs, maybe not. Although, boy, we've come a long way with Corpus. Now we're giving Korpisalo like...
Nah, he sucks.
We're giving him 30 games?
Yeah, it's probably...
50-30, 50-32, whatever that breaks down to.
You're supposed to play 27 or whatever. Good text. $8 million backup, just like Jacoby Brissett.
So, look... If you're telling me the locker room's just out on Swayman, well, fine. Okay, go with Korpisalo. But if you're trying to get Swayman back and repair that relationship, I'm not sure I like this. I would have given Swayman the game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to give Corpy the next one and go to rotation short term, fine. I'm okay with that. Tonight, regardless, it speaks volumes. And Joe Sacco's going to come in and do it his way. Mm-hmm. How's that ever gone wrong with the Bruins coach in recent history? I thought Monty was just doing it his way by shoving players and sitting Pastrnak for the third period and hanging Swayman out to dry for 7 goals against Dallas. I thought that was a coach doing it his way.
Yeah, it was, but those weren't popular probably amongst the players. I bet this move is.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
You know, it's not popular amongst one player.
Hanging Swayman out to dry probably was popular.
Oh, actually, turns out, maybe. Yeah, that might have been popular. Yeah, they might have liked that. But they're also the ones on the ice also allowing 12 goals
in
the games.
True. And they're also just watching goal.
Yeah, goal. Oh, that was great.
Goal.
Oh, wow. We should try that.
617-779-7937. It's Korpisalo in net tonight, according to new head coach Joe Sacco. So what do you think of that? You can jump in here. We said we were going to get to the Red Sox. We'll do that later on. We'll get back to the Patriots as well. Some wild comments from Alex Van Pelt. We'll do that in a moment. Sorja is in Mansfield on the Bees. Go ahead, Sorja.
Jones and Keith, how are we today?
Very good. How are you?
Doing well. I'm just reacting to this breaking news. I mean, I think it's been just so frustrating as a Bruins fan the last couple of years. We went for that stupid President's Cup and lost to Florida in the first round. And I just think that, you know, okay, I think we can all agree that firing Monty was the right move. And I'm surprised that they did it right away. I know the reports were out there. But The thing is that now Don Sweeney is on the hot seat because you got rid of Cassidy. He won a Stanley Cup with Vegas the next year. And if, you know, if Monty now gets success in another team, you got to get the right players, right? And I just think that Don Sweeney is at, you know, the head of the snake now. And just really quick on Swayman, I'm glad he got paid. But his you, Keith, you mentioned some of his stats, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you got the long-term security. Now it's time to come play, right? And it's just very frustrating as a Bruins fan that we went through the dog and pony show in the offseason, and I hope that he can get better. And, you know, it is going to be really tough for Swayman if Korpisalo plays better than him and you kind of made the dog and pony show when you should have been kind of getting ready with the guys in the offseason.
So,
but you guys have a great rest of your day.
Okay, Sorja, thank you.
You as well.
Like, it tells you one of two things. How out of whack the priorities are for the guys on this team, that they're siding with management over one of their own, a fellow player, in that contract negotiation. Or it just tells you how much of an a-hole Swayman is. But I remain on Swayman's side for that one. Swayman wanted... I mean, he wanted more than he got, but they went north of that $8 million number that apparently they were comfortable doing. You could have done that earlier. You could have had him out on the ice. Like, if you're frustrated with Swayman not being out there, you shouldn't be frustrated with him. You should be frustrated with the team. You should be frustrated with Sweeney and Neely and ownership.
Both sides thought the other side was going to give in sooner, and then it just bled right into the season.
But now, now pick a side. I would be on Swayman's side. I am on Swayman's side, but as a player, I would be on Swayman's side with that one. Mm-hmm. The team ultimately caved to him.
Right.
So they should have caved earlier. You should be mad at the team, not him. Unless he's a colossal a-hole, which I guess is possible.
Yeah, I'll leave the door open on that.
He's a goalie.
I don't know. Right. Strange. His best buddy was the other goalie.
Who?
Now he's gone. Who? So he doesn't have his buddy.
I think was pretty high up on the a-hole scale himself.
Might have been.
Yeah.
He's also been terrible this year.
Yeah.
Well, join the club. Maybe it's because they have to
the
do everything.
The power of friendship ended and they're both terrible.
I mean,
Yeah, right. Or it's sympathetic. You know, one guy's like, oh, I stink too. He's like, oh, so I'll allow a few goals because you did the same.
So what do you think? Going Korpisalo tonight, what does it say about Jeremy Swayman and his standing within the team? 617-779-7937. There's a new sheriff in town, and it's not Sheriff Shane Knighty.
No, it's Joe Sacco.
Sheriff Joe Sacco running things. We'll get back to the Patriots with all your Bruins phone calls. We have to get to these comments from Alex Van Pelt. I don't know if I'm angrier at Alex Van Pelt or Gerard Mayo over these. Plus, who would you rather be, the Patriots or the Dolphins? We'll get back into that next.